All right, well, we're going to get started. Good evening. My name is Sean. What's yours? I definitely am excited about what God has for us tonight, without a doubt. For me, I endeavor anytime I have an opportunity to hear someone speak, whether it's in the secular world, in business, a motivational speaker or some business guru, or certainly our pastors, certainly ministers of the word. I endeavor to get something out of it. And, everybody has different delivery, different styles of communication, and that can influence our ability as receivers. But my challenge tonight is just press into what God has for you. Clearly there's some things that as I've prayed and prepared for today are in notes and they're all laid out nice and great. But it's just my expectation that the same Holy Ghost that abides in me abides in you. If there's things that need to be said tonight, things that need to be emphasized tonight, then I just believe that those things will come out. Because God wants us to grow and increase in the knowledge of Him. God wants us to be strong and moving forward with what God has for us. So that's the best advice I can give tonight, is just get something out of what God has for us, because our God is just that good. Tonight, there are a few things that we have in common, okay? One thing we have in common tonight is everybody in this room tonight has been born, correct? Every one of us. Yep, our little body parts grew inside of our mother's womb and we were born. And the other thing that we have in common is every one of us tonight, right now, is alive and on planet Earth. Right? So we have so much in common already. And we as born human beings living on this earth, we are going to walk through life on this earth until we die. And when we die, we'll no longer be walking through life on this earth. We'll continue to walk, and that life that we walk will be eternal. And depending on which path we're on, it'll be eternal life that we walk with God, in relationship with God, going forward in the kingdom of God, or it will be walking down a path that is much broader and much wider, a path of destruction separated from God. But we are all walking through this life right now, right, until we die. And the world system is every moment of every day giving us lots of options for how we can walk this life on the earth. Right? You can be who you want to be how you want to be, act how you want to act. You don't tell me what to do. I won't tell you what to do. The world system gives us tons of options of how we can walk through this life. And when I say walk through this life, I'm referring to just our conduct, our manner in which we carry ourselves, the decisions we make. We can walk through life however we want if you follow the world system. Do you agree? I mean, if I said to leave this building right now, to walk outside, you could get up and walk out that door, or you could walk out that door, and you could go left and then go out that door, or go right and then go out that door. You could walk around a while before you left. You'd have all kinds of options for where you want to walk. And the world says either walk this way or that way, but God wants us to walk the way. He wants us to walk the way that He set out for us. We know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. God wants us to walk the way. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that you may be well, and that you may prolong the days of your life in the land which thou shalt possess." In Matthew 7:13-14, the Bible describes those options of paths that we can choose. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." God desires us to go, wants us to go, but has directed us to go down a certain path. And on that path, God wants us to live and walk out this life a certain way. The key deciding factor on which path you walk and how you walk that path is not your circumstances. It is not the family you were raised into. It's not the environment that you grew up in. It's not your job. It's not your health. It's not your wealth. It's not your education. It's not your strength. It's not your looks. It's none of that. None of that determines the path you're going to walk on and how you're going to walk on that path. Do you agree?
Yeah.
None of it determines that. It's our decisions that will determine the path we're going to go. And it's our decisions that will determine the way in which we walk down that path. From the very beginning of time, God has given us the ability to decide. I mean, since Adam and Eve, we have had the ability to make a decision about the path we're going to go on and the way we're going to walk on that path. He has given us the ability to either accept or reject. He's given us the decision and the deciding abilities on the inside of us to obey or to disobey. We can decide if we want to thrive or if we want to retreat. We can decide if we want to be successful or if we want to fail in life. We decide death and life, blessing and cursing. The choice is ours. We decide if we're going to walk the way God wants us to walk or if we're going to walk the way the world wants us to walk. That's our decision. And God's word is filled with directional signs and guideposts and encouragement and blinking, flashing road signs, if you will, directing us in where we should go. The Word of God is filled. The Spirit of God is ever constantly giving us guidance and direction on where we should go, what path we should choose, and how we should walk in that path. Thank God. And first we decide the path, and then we decide how we're going to walk the path. And I would describe the path as the internal environment that we're in. You can go down the path of an environment that's eternal, and it's a bit more of a narrow because there's only one way to get down that path. And that path is filled with health and blessing and provision. It's filled with a relationship with the God who created us. It's filled with access to the Holy Ghost. It's filled with clarity of the Word, the mystery being revealed to us. It's filled with eternal life forever with God, worshiping Him forever, serving Him forever. Right? Or there's that path that we can go down, that environment that we can create for ourselves eternally. That's a path of destruction, a path of darkness. Someone who doesn't accept God, doesn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, has chosen that path, and that path leads to destruction. And at some point when they leave this earth, that person will spend eternity separated from God in hell. And that is a harsh reality. And that is not what God desires. But that's the reality of a creation that's been given a choice. So the eternal environment is the path. The walk, that's the experience. The walk that we lay out on this earth is the experience. You can have somebody who chooses the path of destruction, and they choose that by virtue of not accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God's not sending them to hell, condemning them to a life separate from Him. God says, no, you choose. So the person who chooses that path and walks in a way down that path, that's your experience. But you realize you can have somebody walk down a path of destruction and have a great experience on this earth. There's all kinds of people that are not born again, that are philanthropic. They're caring and loving and kind. They're awesome husbands, amazing wives. They're brilliant members of society. They're contributing. They're not doing bad stuff. They're doing great things. So their experience, the way that they're walking, the manner of their life can be a great experience. But if they're on the wrong path, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, they're on the wrong path. And sadly, you can have somebody who chooses the right path, who chooses to walk with God, who at one moment in their life knelt down before God, so to speak, opened up their heart, believed what the Word said, and called upon the name of the Lord and became saved and experienced freedom that comes from God. But the walk, the experience, is miserable because they allow traditions and doctrines of men to cloud the truth of God's Word and makes it ineffective in their life. And so even though they're born again, access to everything God made available to us, their experience is miserable because they harbor resentment or guilt or fear, because they choose to not forgive, because they choose the path of disobedience, right? So the path is the environment. The walk is the experience. And God wants us to have both. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way which He walked. You say you're a child of God, you say you're a Christian, then we ought to walk the way Jesus walked. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 6. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and by fearing Him. Ephesians 5, 16 and 17, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Psalms 143, 8, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Tonight we're going to look at a number of things that the Bible reveals to us about that walk that we have in this life, the experience that we can have as believers. And the first one is to walk by faith. Let me read this short little story here. In a grade school lesson, a teacher was explaining a little bit about whales. A little girl in class piped up and said, I just learned that Jonah in the Bible was swallowed by a whale. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was relatively small. The girl said, I'm sure Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human, that it was physically impossible. The little girl replied, well, my Sunday school teacher told me Jonah was swallowed by a whale and she would not lie to me. A bit perturbed by this, the teacher proclaimed, that is a story from the Bible. It's not factual and I will not argue with you any longer. After a little thought, the girl responded, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. Now, challenged, the teacher spouted, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? Not at all daunted, the girl quipped, okay, then you ask her. That's pretty funny. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by... We walk by faith and not by sight. And, to walk by faith and not by sight means that you have put more emphasis, that your beliefs, that your firm persuasions, that your just confident, resolved knowing, your faith on the inside, you put more weight in the faith of God's Word and what the Holy Ghost tells you than what your senses are telling you, than what you see. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. To put more trust and faith in things like science or experiences or human logic. You know, all of those things are important for our experience here on this earth. But we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to allow the realities of the supernatural to be greater than just the realities of this world. Amen? Amen? In this room alone, there are story after story of people walking by faith and not by sight. If you're born again, then you have experienced one of the greatest, if not the greatest, experiences of faith. For we're saved, what? By grace through faith. Amen? That's how we became born again. The moment we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we just experienced what it was like to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, if you go sign up and buy a new house, maybe you know a great realtor. Did I say it right, Mr. Dunn? A great realtor. When you're going to buy that house, you're physically signing a piece of paper. You're physically using a key to walk into the door. You're interacting with the people that are helping you negotiate that transaction. Yet when you become born again, God is not sending down Jesus or some angels to sit around a table with you. And all right, now let me explain to you all the benefits. Let me just tell you what you're walking away from when you accept Christ. Now, here's a pen. And then you physically grab the pen and you sign the document. And then Jesus, you know, puts you in an Uber and drives you over to the house and opens the door for you. There's no physical interaction that you're having, right? So you are walking by faith and not by sight the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. The fact that we are in this building tonight is an example of what it means when a body of believers walks by faith and not by sight. Because, you know, Pastor has shared the story leading up to being in this building. And the fact that time and time again in the natural, in our sight, in our ears, what we heard, what we experienced were doors being closed. Opportunities that we thought were maybe the right opportunity, and suddenly it's not. The situation didn't look good in the natural at all. And 24 hours before our pastor stands up on a Saturday night service, We didn't know where we were going. We knew, because he's been declaring over and over again, month after month after month, that God would provide a ram in the thicket. God would make a way for us. And so we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And 24 hours before that, he's negotiating a deal, and God has blessed us tremendously with the opportunity to be here in this community. God has something amazing for this community. I have no doubt. Because God is an amazing God and has called our pastors and given us a vision and a heart to affect people's lives and to combat the traditions and doctrines of men and to bring light and truth to those around us. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm sure there are some, either here or not here perhaps, that they wavered. You know what? God can forgive you if you did. Because the reality is, you walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible is filled with examples as well, for sure, of people that have walked by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes referred to as the hall of faith or the heroes of faith, just example after example of people that walk by faith. But I love to read in chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies and the enemies. The Bible showed us what happens when people walk by faith and not by sight. We can overcome. To walk by faith and not by sight means to walk in health when your body tells you you got some issues. To walk by faith and not by sight is to say that I'm walking in provision when your checkbook tells you otherwise. To walk by faith and not by sight is to walk in a place of forgiveness when the thing that's been done to you is pretty harsh. That's to walk by faith and not by sight. The next thing we're going to look at is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, or you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All the things that we struggle with as human beings on this earth, and keep in mind that Jesus was tempted as we were on all points. There isn't a single temptation that you deal with, a single problem or challenge that you face that God has not already faced. The difference is God was perfect and without sin and never succumbed to the temptation. But on earth we do. But thank God we've got the blood of Jesus poured out for us and forgiveness made available to us. But we're to walk in the Spirit, and when you do, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're struggling with what to watch and what not to watch. You're struggling with what to listen to and not listen to. You're struggling with where to go and not go, what to say and not say, how to be and not be, then choose to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's Word does not lie. God does not lie to us. So we can walk in the Spirit as real Spirit beings who God made us to be. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And when we walk in the Spirit, it benefits us. Raise your hand if you agree. Little activity, or little interaction. It benefits us to walk in the Spirit, no doubt. Right? You just hear story after story of people that have listened to the Holy Ghost, that have been led by the Spirit of God, and have avoided challenges, have walked into opportunities. But it goes beyond just what benefits us. When we walk by the Spirit, it can benefit others. In our 242 group this last week, Miss Mary Graves, who's working with the kids right now, shared a story. She said it was fine just to pass this along. But in our time of discussion, she had shared with us that her younger sister, Miss Mary was out of the house at the time. Her younger sister was in high school and was not born again, had not accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. And had something happen to her in that moment as a high school student, perhaps whatever, and she died. Mary's sister would have spent eternity separated from God. So these are pretty weighty things, right? And so her sister is in high school, not born again, and down in two levels down in the basement, and she's struggling. And I'm not elaborating on this. She's struggling, and she calls out to God. "God, if you're real, then tell me you love me." And meanwhile, Mary's mother is upstairs in their bedroom, and she is awoken in prayer and hears, "Go tell your daughter that you love her and that God loves her." I mean, that seems simple. I mean, in just the natural, it seems like not that profound. Like if I was like, hey, Kevin, God loves you, you'd be like, oh, thank you. But when a person who doesn't have the life of God in them, they have not been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the dear Son. They're walking as the God of this world would have them walk. And they cry out to God, if you're real, then tell me you love me. And so Miss Mary's mom goes down and tells her that she loves her and that God loves her. And she becomes born again. She prays the prayer of salvation. Her life changed forever. Now what if Miss Mary Graves' mother was not walking in the Spirit? It doesn't mean that God wouldn't have found a way or that some others would have not rose up to bring truth and light to that person who needed it. But in that moment, she was walking in the Spirit and was able to then, from that place, respond and not just help her situation, but help the situation of her daughter. That's pretty amazing. Amen. That's just exciting. The next one we're going to look at is to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, it says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. We're to walk in love. And in Corinthians, you know, we have the description of what the God kind of love is. And I've got a King James Bible, but I wrote out forever ago, like in 1990-something, what the Amplified version of it says. And so I like that, and I'm going to read that. The God kind of love. So love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, never becomes obsolete, never comes to an end. That is the God kind of love. We're to walk in that love. And we know that the commandment that we have in the New Testament is to walk in love, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our might. It's to love our neighbor as ourself. And when you walk in love, you point to the fact that Jesus is alive. You draw people to you. They'll know we're Christians by our love, not our Bible, not our affiliation, not the clothes we wear, the car we drive. That is not the calling sign of salvation and of what Christ has done. The fact that we walk in love. Because we can have all kinds of great things going on in our life, but if we don't have love, we have nothing. And so we're to walk in love. We're to walk in peace. The experience that we should have as believers walking on a path of life and that more abundant is to walk in such a way where we're walking in the peace of God. I'd watched a viral video years ago of a woman who clearly had some mental challenges but was just overwhelmed with anxiety and had a service dog. And so there's a video of this woman just having an absolute panic attack, just pulling her hair, just rocking back and forth, just freaking out. And the service dog comes and just comes real close, jumps up and just paws a little bit, and this woman begins to relax and calm down and have peace and knelt down, calmed them down. We've got some friends who have kids with autism or various other things, and they wear weighted vests. They put on a piece of clothing that is weighted and compresses, and it's calming. Guys, if a dog and a piece of clothing can bring peace to somebody in the midst of a stressful situation, how much more can our God provide peace that passes all understanding? We just need to walk in it. to walk in that peace. Psalm 34:14, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Too often, we are pursuing the very thing that erodes the God kind of peace in our life. Something comes up and it's dramatic, there's drama and there's gossip and there's things going on and we go chase that. And it creates anxiousness and uncomfortableness and anxiety. And in a sense, we're pursuing that. And by virtue of pursuing that, we are doing the opposite. We are running away from the God kind of peace. We're supposed to pursue the God kind of peace. We're supposed to expect that as children of the Most High God that we can have peace that passes all understanding. To not be rattled in the midst of difficult situations. To be able to compose ourselves and to have a manner of being that doesn't get rattled every time something doesn't go our way, but to walk in peace. Stress is a lie of the enemy. It's the number one cause of disease. It's disgusting in my opinion. Not the person who experiences stress. I've experienced stress to great degrees in my life. And thank God that I refuse today to accept it. I'll pass on it every time it comes my way. And it comes my way often. Stress is a lie. No one has to accept stress. No one has to accept anxiety. Nobody has to be depressed. Because God has made a provision for that. Amen? And thank God He loves us when we succumb to it. I mean, God doesn't turn His back on us if we're experiencing stress. But the Bible tells us to cast our care before the Lord because He cares for us. The Bible tells us to lay it down. The Bible tells us to walk in peace. And if the walk is the experience, then we should be experiencing peace. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. It is possible to walk through this life on this earth and not be knocked down and knocked out by the things of this world. It's possible to walk in such a way where we will not stumble. Where when the temptation comes knocking on our door, we pass on it. And again, I'm reiterating, when we miss it because we will, because we're not Jesus. We are not perfect and without sin. We have all kinds of other promises in the Bible that tells us that we can go to God and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So do not allow the fact that you may or may not be giving in to these things that I'm describing. Don't allow them to bring guilt. If that does, pass on that too. Just say, no thanks, I'm passing on the guilt. I don't need it. There's no guilt or condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus anyway. So we're to walk in peace. The next one we'll look at is we're to walk in wisdom. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We are to walk in the wisdom of God. We know the word says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We can go to God and we can believe that he's a God who will give us wisdom and he'll pour it out liberally. So we're to walk in wisdom. And walking in wisdom is another example of where we've got lots of options in life. Right? Because the Bible in one case describes how there's wisdom that's earthly, sensual, devilish. There's options that you have. You can walk the world's way and you can go with earthly wisdom. You can go with sensual wisdom. You can go with devilish wisdom. Influences that are not things that we should be listening to. But then we've got this option called godly wisdom. And that's the wisdom that we are to walk in. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And in Ephesians 5, 15 and 17, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The days in which we live are evil days. And it would be good for us as believers to walk in godly wisdom. To use discernment and wisdom when we're dealing with individuals who are hurting and lost. To use discernment and wisdom when we're dealing with situations that seem complex. The world is complex today. Agreed? We were just having a conversation before the service. The stuff that teenagers deal with today, You know, when I sit with our youth and we have a conversation with a purpose, and I hear story after story of the challenges that they face, of the realities that they have in schools, from suicide to teenage pregnancy to drugs and alcohol to violence like never seen before. And whether it was bad then and worse now, doesn't matter. That's not the point I'm making, but the challenges are there. And if we're walking in godly wisdom, we will know how to handle those situations when they arise. We'll know how to deal with fools and not get sucked into the trap. Right? We're to walk in godly wisdom. You know, but the Pastor Dwayne has described before, this is how I was taught, how I've grown up, is Pastor Dwayne describing to me that knowledge is the accumulation of facts, understanding is the proper arrangement of those facts, and wisdom is the proper application of those facts. You know, we can feed on God's Word. We should feed on God's Word. This is the thing that should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. This is what we go to when we're faced with a challenge. Not WebMD, not, hey Siri, how do I? Let's go to the Bible. Let's not go out to Facebook and ask everybody in the cyber world how we should handle a situation and have never gone to the Bible and looked at what the Word of God said. Never once thought for a moment that, you know what, I think God's pretty wise and I can walk in that wisdom. That's how we're supposed to walk our life. We're in difficult times and challenging days. And so we should be careful to walk in godly wisdom. The next one we'll look at is we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. In John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we're not walking in the light, then we are walking in darkness. I don't see how there's an in-between. You're either walking in the light of God's Word, or you're not. And if you're not, you're walking in darkness. And why would a child of light want to walk in darkness? And we know that we have an adversary who is skilled at deception, and we know that circumstances sometimes can be louder than what the Word says if we allow ourselves to not be strong in that faith. But man, we are children of light, and we should walk in that light and allow that light to illuminate the things that are before us. Allow that light to reveal to us the things that we need, and not only what we need, but allow that light to shine through us to those that are walking in darkness and need the light. Amen? Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. As a child of light, we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness. The enemy tells us we need to walk in darkness, but we don't have to walk in darkness. Glory to God. We don't have to. A few others. We'll keep going here. In Colossians, it tells us that we're to walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord. In Ephesians, it tells us that we're to walk worthy of our calling. Romans 13:13 tells us that we're to walk honestly. In Acts, we're to walk in the fear of the Lord. In Micah, we're to walk humbly before our God. We see that we're to walk in high places. We're to walk in good works. We're to walk in truth. And in Ephesians, we see that we're to walk differently than the world walks. And it's possible for us to walk that way. We're going to wrap up with three things. This is why I know it's possible. Number one, we never walk alone. It's possible to walk the path that God has for us because we're not walking alone. We may not acknowledge that we're not walking alone. We may try to hide from the fact that we're not walking alone. We might not access the benefits of what it means to not walk alone. But we're not walking alone. We might turn our back But we're not walking alone because God will never leave us nor forsake us. Joshua 1:8 says, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." We've been commanded to be strong and of good courage, to not be afraid, to not be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with us. So we can walk this walk because we're not having to walk it alone. We're not walking it in and of our own strength. We didn't get saved in our own strength. We got saved because of the work that God did and what Jesus did and the Holy Ghost did. And the devil tells us, though, that we can't. The devil tells us that we can't walk in this glorious life that God has for us. And he tells us that we're not good enough. And he tells us that we're not worthy enough. And he tells us that our situation is too difficult. And he tells us that the terrain in which we're walking is too challenging. And therefore, it's impossible. You cannot walk that walk. You can walk a different walk, but the enemy is going to lie to us every moment of every day and every opportunity to get us to accept and think that we can't walk the way we just described. But we can because God's with us. And it's worth noting that the enemy is walking as well, right? In 1 Peter 5:8, he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. So just as we're walking our path, Satan, a defeated foe, a liar, and a thief, is walking about seeking who he may devour. And it doesn't say who he will devour or has the right to devour. It's who he may devour. It's not an ordained thing that the devil can come and wreck your life. We can resist the devil. And we do that by submitting to God and his word. And we can resist the devil and he has to flee. So the devil's doing his little walk as well. Just boot him with the word of God whenever he comes your way. So we know that we can walk this way because we never walk alone. The other reason is he's given us everything we need to walk and experience this life that he has for us. Because the moment that we accepted God as our Lord and Savior, or Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and accepted the work that God provided for us, the moment we accepted the free gift of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, we had everything we needed. God has given us on the inside all the things that we need to live this life victoriously. To walk by faith and not by sight. To walk in all the ways that we just described. To walk by faith. To walk in the Spirit. To walk in love. To walk in peace. To walk in wisdom and light. To walk worthy. To walk honestly. To walk in the fear of the Lord. To walk humbly. To walk different than the world. To walk in and by His strength. Isaiah 40:31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so he's given us what we need to walk in his way. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his son. We have what's available to us to walk this walk. And the last thing is, he'll teach us to walk in his ways. The verse we already looked at was in Psalm 143, verse 8. "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust you. Teach me the way which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." We can walk this way that God wants us to walk. We can walk different than the world walks. We can walk outside of the realm of this natural world and walk at a higher level according to God's word. Amen? Amen. And that is what I have tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that is alive.